Chris,
Marcus,
we are back. It is Little Pocket Awareness. It's been a long time, Chris. It's been a long time, but we are back. It is free agency. It's draft season. We're getting into it now. So I gotta get the socials out first. We got ALPA underscore QB1 on Twitter, ALPA underscore QB1 on Instagram, at DMarkJohnNFL for me, at King Manelos for Chris. And of course, hit the subscribe button on iTunes, on Spotify, all that great stuff. So, Chris, we are back.
Work got in our way, Marcus.
Work got in our way, life. And, you know, the Raiders just, you know, having all these type of stuff, you know, happening. We got a new head coach. And then, you know, we don't have a quarterback, really. I don't know what we're going to do about that. But, you know,
I got a quarterback.
Josh Jacobs went over to you. And you guys got a quarterback.
You got a quarterback.
Taking off. You know,
I'm gonna pound my chest here, Marcus, when I gave you crap about your 32 through one. Mm-hmm. And you had Jordan Love in the high 20s. I let you do it because it was his first season. Well, when we redo that list this year, I'm gonna be looking where you put him.
My list is gonna be so tough for me this year because it's gonna be a weird. It's gonna be weird.
Oh, all yeah, right. Yeah. Daniel Jones, not gonna be able to put him where you had him before. Justin Fields, not gonna be able to put him where you put him before. I'm liking the way that I played out my feelings about the quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. Baker Mayfield, you're gonna have to give him a little bit more props this year. Yeah.
A little bit. I watch that. Mr. Mayfield. You know, because I think the guys I'm having problems with is mostly Tua. I mean, where am I going to put Tua?
Oh, hey, you know that I have a big problem with Tua. I got a massive problem with Jalen Hurts. Massive. And I cannot wait to get into a conversation with you about Jalen Hurts again. Ooh, I cannot wait, Marcus.
So that's the guys I've had the problem with is like Tua. Like, where does he go? Because, you know, Tua's film is always interesting to me. It's like
there's a way to beat. Listen to me. Are you finally?
There's a way to beat Tua, but when he does what he could do, he does it really, 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 really damn well. So like that's the thing. And I mean, he's getting better.
Okay, you mean Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill when they get to do what they need to do,
man?
Then Tua is getting better. You're not
being fair to Tua. Tua can anticipate the hell out of some zone defenses. His anticipation might be the best. We're just a side conversation, but it might be the best.
We are already tangenting. We are 3 minutes into this recording, and we are already going off on a tangent.
It might be the best in the NFL. So that's the thing with Tua. It's like, do you take that into account, or do you take, you know, once he can't make that read and he has to go to another one, like, you know, I guess it's
you know. We will have that conversation.
Exactly. All right. So, you know, first of all, we talk about our teams first. You know, you stole Josh Jacobs from the Raiders.
Thank you. Well, it's only because there was a very difficult conversation with Aaron Jones. And when I say difficult, I say that from my heart. I know that our general manager had no difficult conversation. He said, you are trying to make 17, you're going to count for 17 million against us this year. And the market says that you're probably worth six. And he was like, hold on. I'm worth six. I don't think so. From what I think I saw, it was a base salary offer of 4 mil with 2 million in incentives to get him to that six. And I think they did that because of his injury issues. 29 years old. Hasn't played a full season in a while. It's a lot of games this last year. Was amazing in the last five games of the season when he was healthy. When that man's healthy, if he gets 20 carries, I think the final record for Aaron Jones, 20 carries for Aaron Jones equaled 18-2 for the Green Bay Packers. When he got 20 or more carries, the Packers were 18 wins to 2 losses. So that's going to be very difficult to let go. But, Marcus, I saw some pretty good stats about your boy there that we're bringing in. And he's only 26, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we got younger. We basically gave him the same contract that we gave Aaron Jones when he turned 26. Mm-hmm. So very excited about kind of that. Looks like we're probably gonna have to end up drafting some young guns in that third, fourth round area. Of course, the people from Wisconsin want Allen, kid that played at Wisconsin. Be interesting to see how that plays out for the Packers. My favorite thing that they did, though, is bringing in McKinney. I love the new defensive coordinator. Dude wants to play man. He wants to press. We're going to see a lot of cover one, and we got McKinney to be our deep center field safety. And I am very excited for what the defense is going to bring. We got a lot to do at the linebacker position. And then with cutting Bach, we freed up 20 mil in cap space. We need some more depth on the offensive line as well. I'd love to see Tom slide into guard so we can draft a tackle, because tackle's a big position where there's a lot of depth in the draft. I see the Packers either drafting an offensive lineman or a cornerback in the first round.
All right. Well, you know, the Raiders got Christian Wilkins. I mean, so I don't know really what else they need to do on free agency. They made the biggest splash of the biggest splashes.
Hey, well, you got a great defensive tackle. I think that's a fantastic move for you guys. But you got a quarterback, too.
Yeah. I mean, did we?
Hey, Minshew Mania made its way from Jacksonville and Philly. Minshew Mania was there in Indianapolis.
Did we, Chris? I don't know. See, the thing is, with Gardner Minshew, and I talk about this with the reaction, is like, I don't see the difference between him and O'Connell. You should just – O'Connell's your bridge. Like, if you want to get a bridge guy, you have one. It's set in stone. He's a fourth rounder. You saw he's pretty average last year. Is he going to get any better? We don't know. Maybe. And that's the thing with me, is like, there's mystery with Aiden O'Connell. Like,
yeah.
Maybe he could become Kirk Cousins, you know? Like, the maybe is there, you know, even if it doesn't happen, it's a possibility. Gardner Minshew, like, he's going to come in, and, you know, I hope they draft somebody at this point. Because
You're going to draft somebody. You're going to draft somebody. You've got your three quarterbacks, whoever you draft, and the two guys that you got on your roster. You've locked in your three.
I would rather have Sam Darnold. If we're gonna do
wow,
I just me personally, because that's, I feel like aggressive. Minshew is what he is, right? And you know, I think like somebody like Sam Darnold or like Jacoby Brissett, you know, there's just a lot more guys that and then the money they gave Minshew.
I like Minshew for you guys, because you're basically, I know Pierce said that AOC's got the job until he doesn't. Mm-hmm. So if he flops, you're guaranteed something with Gardner. He's going to keep you guys competitive. And then you can let the rookie, when you draft one, develop. So I think you got the best of, like, all worlds here. You're going to get a rookie quarterback. You're going to get that excitement of the future with that rookie. You get AOC to be there, and it's really his job to lose. And then when he does lose it, you've got Gardner there to keep the boat steady while rookie gets ready.
See, AOC scares me that way, though, because will he lose it? I don't know. He's just so, like, even when they asked him about, like, the offseason, he's like, yeah, I welcome competition. You know, I know they're going to bring somebody in. I know they're going to draft somebody, and I welcome it. You know, I'll be ready to take it on. And, you know, he just has that guy. He's always been underdog, right? And it's just another day. They don't believe me again. And I could just convince myself. That's why I was always worried about them, like, drafting somebody that wasn't the top three guys. Is like, you draft Michael Penix. Does he have the grit and the will? You're going to – that's what I'm saying. They probably signed Gardner Minshew. They gave him that money. And I'm sure Aiden O'Connell went to – he was at the facility at 5 o'clock. In the morning.
You might accidentally have a quarterback.
Then, huh? He called Devontae Adams on the phone. Hey, Devontae, what you doing, man? You want to go run some routes? Let's work on some timing, man. I got the playbook. You want to go? But then, because that's his personality. So that's why I am a little scared of him that way. But that's my thing too. Is like, that's the mystery of him. Like, does he take that next step? Because he didn't play that bad. He looked, that's what I'm saying, he looked just as good as Gardner Minshew did on the Colts, and he's a rookie. So that's my thing, is there's more mystery with him. Like, it could be a thing. Mm-hmm. You know, he could be a starter. You know, maybe there's a possibility. But, you know, Gardner Minshew, I just said, you know, you're a backup. So that's my, I guess it's just my pushback for it. Like, I was hoping they would bring, like, more of a veteran that would, I would feel like, would actually push Aiden O'Connell a little bit more.
You don't think Gardner would? Gardner was great for Anthony Richardson. He was great for Anthony Richardson.
It's, you see, a lot of it is because I watched the game against the Raiders when they played the Raiders. He didn't. He had one good play where he rolled out and made it. But after that, he didn't do anything except like throw the ball 1-2 yards. So, and then like, and then he had Alex Pierce on this like the most wide open play I've ever seen. I've never seen a wide receiver that wide open and be missed, and the quarterback look at him, and then he just stared at that check down instead, and like checked down. I don't know if that's coaching. I don't know if that's him. Hmm. So maybe it's that. Maybe I watched the film last year, and I was like, yeah.
You got a little film bias going.
Yeah, it happens. Okay. It happens, Chris. All right, but yeah, I mean,
Zaire White, huh? He's your guy.
Zaire White, yeah. I think they're gonna draft somebody. That's why the people are trying to show out on me because I guess they've been watching running backs on YouTube on their highlights. So everybody's like, oh, this running back's better. Like, do you guys watch? You guys are not film evaluators. You guys just watch highlights, man. Like,
Watching highlights and evaluating
films. Yeah, watching highlights is not the same damn thing. Because you can't you can't evaluate a running back without seeing the end zone view. You can't.
No, you got to see what they see.
Same thing with the offensive lineman. You can't.
You got to be behind the quarterback, or you got to be behind the safety. You got to see that view. You can't watch a sideline view to make an actual evaluation of those positions.
Yeah. So. Anyways, Chris, let's get into some other topics here.
Well, it's been a while since we've had a conversation, so obviously we got to tip our hat to Patrick Mahomes in that Super Bowl victory.
I don't know. I don't know if I really want to do this, Chris. I mean, you can.
That's your division. You tip your hat. I understand where you're coming from. I know
you tip your own hat.
I am going to tip my hat to him. I'm still going to say that the guy is so turnover prone. And he's gotten away with murder his entire career so far. And I will still be critical of him and his turnovers, but boy, does he overcome them.
What turnover did he have? Did he have a turnover in the Super Bowl?
Oh, yeah, he threw an interception in the Super Bowl.
He did, huh? Did he? Yeah, he did. He did, huh?
Yeah, he did. He did. That was a defensive battle at the beginning of the game. I will give – you got to give that defense credit in Kansas City. They did a lot to be the reason – to be a big part
of the only reason they were there.
That they were there. Yeah, that defense was a huge reason to why Kansas City. It wasn't just on Patrick Mahomes' shoulders, but the guy doesn't shy away from a moment, and he wins. He wins, Marcus. I gotta eat my crow for the first 2 years that I was wait and see. And then year three, I was like, the turnovers are coming. And now the dude is – he's bulletproof, Marcus. I don't know how you can't say he's there's no argument against him at this point.
I'm not arguing. I just don't like talking about it.
Well,
I don't like the way he plays now. I don't like it. I don't like just Mr. Game Manager Mahomes. I don't like it.
Because you didn't want it to happen.
I need you to go back spinning around in circles.
you wanted that chance of injury.
Yeah, I don't like some of the I remember watching, I was getting ready for the game, watching the Raiders, and it was, you know, when they were playing the Raiders the first time, and I was watching this, I'm like, who the hell is this guy, and why is he not running out of the pocket right here? Why are you check that down? I don't like this at all. And then you get to the playoffs, right? And that's how you win in the playoffs, right? Is that not turning the ball over
in the pocket,
keeping everything in schedule, you know, not making reckless plays, not making reckless decisions. And what happens is the team is playing against him. He's having that Tom Brady factor because then Josh Allen had a wide open guy, Dalton Kincaid, on a route he's probably ran his whole career.
I don't understand how he blew it.
Touchdown.
I do not understand how he blew it.
It's Mahomes, man.
Bro,
Josh he's got to throw Allen, touchdown.
He did everything I told you he was going to do, Marcus. He did everything I told you he was going to do. Josh Allen, we've seen the peak. We've seen peak Josh Allen.
I don't know if we have. I mean, from a perspective of maybe he is what he is at this point.
Yeah.
But I still think he's still the second best quarterback in football at this point.
Okay. We're going to have that conversation later. I'm not unwrapping that right now.
He is, man.
I'm not doing that with you right now. I'm not. Okay. We tip the hat. We're going to stay on schedule
what happened,
here.
What happened with him, though, is that what's the difference? I'm going to tell you, this is winning in the playoffs. This is not the season where you could run off with the chick with your head off and make all these stupid plays and do all these things. In the playoffs, it's the land of the game managers. Nobody wants to admit this, but it is. That's where it is. It's where Aaron Rodgers camp doesn't win because he's not the. I mean,
there's a reason why Jordan Love didn't win against San Francisco.
Against Brock Purdy,
the dude had first down. And he bailed out of the pocket.
Trying to make a play.
Trying to be a hero, and he threw an interception instead of taking the check down. Instead of he had open space in front of him. He could have just ran the ball, lived to see the next play. There's no reason the Packers should have lost that game against the Niners. There's no reason.
Yeah.
That was a young quarterback who panicked and tried to make a play. And I loved there was a shot where – Jordan Love went to the sideline, and Matt LaFleur stopped him, and they had a conversation before he actually came off the field. Mm-hmm. And it was 1,000% a situation conversation. That was the mistake. And so far in Jordan Love's career, he's learned from his mistakes. But I'm sorry. As a Packer fan, I really thought that game was not only ours to win. But there was no way we were going to lose to Detroit. There was no way we were going to lose to Detroit.
Yeah. So. See, that's the thing. See, and I mean, Detroit was up on them too. I mean, but you know, I knew that. I knew that was going to happen. I knew they were going to go to Super Bowl. It's not going to happen. But yeah, that's why I don't like the way Mahomes plays anymore. So that's my thing.
And it's not because he's a bad quarterback. It's because he's too good of a quarterback.
I don't like this game managing thing. I don't like this. Make it because keep it real, Chris. Did he lead the pocket in the playoffs?
No, he looked great, Marcus.
The pocket? I asked. No. Did he lead the pocket?
No. What, like twice? Like once twice. Or twice? Once or twice? Like he did it
four games.
He literally did it because there was no other option. Like what you want to see out of a quarterback that. Like that was, and I do this because I saw it all the time as a Packer fan. Aaron Rodgers, when he was peak Aaron Rodgers, was going through his reads. When he didn't have anything, he took off. When he was still able to take off with his legs. And Patrick Mahomes, very reminiscent of that. So he's the best quarterback in the NFL, man. He's the best quarterback in the NFL.
He didn't lead the pocket anymore.
He doesn't need to. Yeah, he didn't need to. He learned how to play within. Well, not that he learned. He always kind of had a piece of that in his.
Oh, the NFL forced him to. Because, I mean, that one year when they were like, okay, we're just going to play
too high. Yeah, when they played too high.
And he
evolved. And that's what makes you an amazing quarterback in the NFL. You want to be a top five quarterback in the NFL, you have to evolve. If they're going to take away one part of the game, you have to be able to move on to the next part of the game.
All right, man. Not Patrick Mahomes. It just makes me depressed. it's like we got to draft a quarterback to compete with him. I think the smart thing is they did. Yeah, we need Christian Wilkins first. And we need a quarterback, but no quarterbacks that come in and compete with him right away. So
we need that's how you stop a guy like Patrick Mahomes. You got to keep him inside the pocket. And then second, when he's good inside the pocket, you got to force from the middle of the pocket. You got to get a game changer in the middle so that pocket collapses from in front of him. Mm-hmm. You want to stop a good quarterback, that pressure has to come up the middle. It has to. You want to stop an elite quarterback, the pressure has to come from the middle of the field.
Oh, 100%. I agree with that. All right, Chris, let's get to some latest news. Free agency quarterbacks. Free agency quarterbacks. Kirk Cousins got the bag once again. He keeps finessing the NFL. The NFL just keeps giving it to him. So Kirk Cousins got the bag once again.
He definitely destroyed the Minnesota Vikings franchise with his guaranteed money, caused a massive cap issue, left behind what, one playoff win in his career?
One playoff win.
Uh-huh. And they are completely and utterly decimated to the point where they're going to have to bring in, well, not that they're going to have to, they did bring in Sam Darnold as their answer to him being left behind. So it sounds like they're going after a rookie quarterback, and Justin Jefferson will not sign a contract with that team until he knows who's actually playing quarterback.
Yeah, it's kind of wild to me that the Vikings didn't keep Kirk, because I don't like why. Like, why did they let him go? You know,
they don't have a cap situation where they can afford to give him that guaranteed money.
I mean, but this is a cash league at this point. You know, we talk about salary cap a lot.
You're not wrong, but they have to pay for people call the salary cap fake and not real. And that's because you can kick the can on these contracts. You can just put it into the next year and the year after that and the year after that. Well, at some point, after you've kicked the can so many times, you got to pay the piper. And that's where the Vikings are right now. They have to pay the piper. And their big splash was bringing in what? They brought in Aaron Jones, and that's their big splash. They brought in a pass rusher. Who was it? Greenland from Houston?
Yeah.
But by doing that, they lost Hunter. Hunter went to Texas. So they're just kind of lost in space, and they're going to have to try and trade up to draft a franchise quarterback. And pray to God that Justin Jefferson doesn't ask to be traded.
Yeah,
because they do have specialists like Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison looked good, T.J. Hockenson, and now Aaron Jones out of the backfield. That's a great specialty player group. They don't have an offensive line though, so the defense is a mess. Mm-hmm. They got a lot of work to do in the draft, and they don't have the draft capital that other teams like the Green Bay Packers have in order to be able to do anything, like the Chicago Bears within the own division. So I'm sorry. The Vikings are in a lot of trouble.
But Kirk Cousins got $45 million again. I think he had I don't even know how much guaranteed he got.
I think he got 90-something guaranteed.
I think it's more than that, Chris.
I think it was 120 guaranteed, because it's $180 million contract, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let me get this straight. The Atlanta Falcons are going to pay Kirk Cousins,
coming off an Achilles at 36.
Coming off an Achilles at 36 for 4 years, $180 million. When they could have traded for Lamar Jackson at 220 for 6 years, and he's what, 26, 27, 28? Why didn't you trade for Lamar last year? Why?
They had Desmond Ridder, man. Why would he do that?
Oh, okay. I love the young talent that Atlanta has. Bringing Kirk in does make them – it's them or Tampa this year. No ifs, ands, or buts. They're set up for success. They got rid of Arthur Smith, so they're at least going to use Bijan as a running back this next season. So they have the tools, but you could have set that franchise up for the next 5-6 years if you would have brought in Lamar. A two-times MVP. A two-time MVP.
You know, talk about the division. I still think the Saints are going to win the division, because I just think Raiders fans are going to watch Derek Carr win a playoff game for some reason. I just have that feeling. It's something they're all going to watch with their old tuna eyes, is him win a playoff game. I'm not saying he's going to do anything else.
That was chaos last season. That was absolute chaos. And they have one of the worst cap situations in the NFL. So I see where you're coming from, and I could see that kind of karma play out that way. But I'm sorry, for me they're the bottom of the barrel.
I don't know, man. I don't know. It's funny. I feel like it's gonna happen at some point. We're all gonna watch it. It's gonna cause a storm, especially if the Raiders run in the playoffs. So I don't know, but I do think because I think the Kirk is going there. You know, he's accumulated to those guys. I know he has more respect around the league than he used to.
Sure. I agree with that.
People are more excited about the way he throws the ball and stuff like that. You know, because I know when Justin Jefferson first came over there, you know, he had, you know, these Kirk Cousins. But then, you know, he started producing and, you know, he even had Devontae Adams talking about how he would like Kirk Cousins to come over to the Raiders. So, so obviously Kirk has changed his reputation around the league.
Sure.
But, you know, it's will he produce with those guys? And I think those guys will produce. They'll play good offense.
I think you'll finally see Kyle Pitts get some production in his career because Cousins does throw to tight ends.
It's just they're he's in the bonehead quarterback division. I mean, Derek Carr's a bonehead. Kirk Cousins is a bonehead. You know, Baker Mayfield's a bonehead. And they're all gonna find a way to not maximize. You know, it's just they'll do something.
You be nice to Baker. You be nice to Baker. He earned his contract. He earned his $100 million.
I'm not saying he did it.
You be nice to Baker.
They're in the because I tell you that there's a tiers to this thing and people know these tiers, but there's the tier that like Carr and like Cousins and Goff and all those guys in. I call them the boneheads because they're good quarterbacks, right? And like they're good guys. They're good quarterbacks. They come and they play really well, but at some moment in time, there's gonna be something that makes you say, "What the fuck?" And that's what that's really what you. that's what they are. And no matter all the good plays you see, they're gonna see the crazy great throws. That's a great throw. What a throw! You know, da da da. And all of a sudden, just something happens. You know, like Derek Carr last year against the Falcons, he was chopping them up, scored a touchdown on the first drive. He was chopping them up again, and he threw a pick six.
I mean, you're not wrong. I picture that. That fourth and seven, and he checked down for a 3-yard gain. Kirk Cousins, and Baker didn't have as many. He really didn't have those bonehead moments this last season.
Not as much. But
yeah. No, I see what you're saying. I like that.
The bonehead division.
We're talking like 18-12.
Yeah,
18-12.
Mm-hmm. The boneheads.
Maybe 11. Maybe I'll let you go.
11, right? Like
18-11. The boneheads. I like that.
It's something because as I'm saying, Kirk Cousins, like he might take the Falcons to the playoffs, and then they get a home game, and then he goes out there.
Shit's bad. Yeah.
The wrong time.
That would be so Kirk Cousins too.
You know what I'm saying, bro? So that's my thing with that. That's gonna be an interesting division because we all can assume it's the Falcons, but maybe Kirk starts. He has his bonehead games in the beginning of the season. He just gets them out. They start 1-3. So it's just those things happen.
I mean, it's not just the quarterbacks. You're right with that division because Carolina, their bonehead move, the way that they traded away DJ Moore, Christian McCaffrey, and now Brian Burns, especially the offer that they had last year for Burns from LA, two first round picks. What was it? Two first round picks, a second and something else for Burns that they declined. And then they could only get a second and a fifth for him this year. Mm-hmm. You're right. That is a division of boneheads. You're right.
Yeah.
NFC South. The boneheads. I like it.
I was saying, people call me a Carr stan. I know Derek Carr. Like he to be honest with you, but Raiders fans, we still don't have a quarterback to place him yet. So you know, how bonehead he is, and the bonehead stuff he does. I mean,
I'm picking up what you're putting down.
If he had a top five defense, I mean, if he had Antonio Pierce. I don't know how good they would have been. So, but yeah. So Kirk got the money. Baker Mayfield, he got paid too. So he's
3 years, 100, right?
Yeah, 3 years, 100. You know, his film was pretty good. I actually get a chance to watch his film. It was pretty good this year. I thought
they're doing a good job of keeping the team together too. They brought Mike Evans back. They didn't have to tag him.
Mm-hmm. So Devonta Davis coming back.
So he
has good rapport with them. I mean, they're getting a new offensive coordinator though. Canales is gone, so that's gonna be an interesting aspect of that. And you know, I still don't think Todd Bowles is a good coach. So I don't believe that. So I think that's gonna be interesting for them. But okay. I think them bringing back Baker made sense.
Agreed.
And then Kirk's coming to that division with a lot of those weapons, but we'll see how Kirk does. I mean, because they have a great offensive line too. He's got weapons. I mean, Kirk really has no excuse. I mean, he does.
He has zero excuse.
Right. So we'll see how he does with that team. And he has a good coach too. Raheem Morris is a good coach. He's got Zach Robinson. He's going to be calling plays. Mm-hmm. So he's in a good situation there too. And, Carr is getting Clint Kubiak. So we're going to see Carr running.
That's right.
He's running the bootlegs. Carr's going to be running the bootlegs this year. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. Yeah. Turn him into Jake Plummer. You know?
Oh, man. I never thought we'd get a Jake Plummer reference on the show. I didn't think that was gonna happen.
It's funny how we talk about the West Coast offense, like it's like not the most quarterback friendly offense, but like watching Jake Plummer go from the Cardinals and then go to the Broncos, and then all of a sudden he's like pretty good. It's the West Coast, man.
I love the West Coast offense. I do too. That's my favorite offense.
I do. You know, the McDaniels offense is basically like Tom Brady, and then you know. Nobody else can run it except him. But Devontae Adams said that in the interview. He got interviewed, two peas in a pod or something. And that's what he said. He's like, we needed Aaron Rodgers this year. He's like, there's nobody else who could have ran this except like Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. So it was just such a complex offense. Like, if you don't have those guys, it's not going to work.
Mm-hmm. But hey, Brady's getting faster. We got to just drop one. Hey, you never know. They could own a player. He's faster than his draft time.
All right. Last thing, free couple of last free agents here. We got Russell Wilson. He's going to Pittsburgh.
That is very interesting to me.
So, on a league minimum, because he's getting paid by the Broncos.
He's sticking it to them.
Russ didn't play that well. He didn't play that bad enough for him to get benched. He did not play benchable football. Let's say that.
No, he did not. I agree.
But like, he played well enough that if you were honest with yourself, you'd be like, okay, let me see him year two in the system. But they, you know, Sean Payton didn't want to pay him. But now Sean Payton, see, the thing is Sean Payton, which I love, he's gonna bring in Jimmy Garoppolo, and that's gonna be hilarious. See, he's basically, because he's on a power trip too. He thinks he's Mr. I want a Super Bowl. I'm Sean Payton, and my offense is a genius. I got a Hall of Fame quarterback. You're not a Drew Brees. And then he kicks him out. He's gonna bring in Jimmy Garoppolo or something stupid like that. And they're gonna roll. And it's going to be pretty funny. But
They don't have a roster over there. They got rid of Jerry Jeudy. They don't have a tight end anymore because all they do is get hurt the whole time. That roster is in trouble. They don't have a defense.
I mean, here comes Jimmy, the winner. Jimmy Garoppolo.
Denver is in the cellar. That's the worst team in your division.
Jimmy Garoppolo is still 3-3 as a starter for the Raiders. So
get out of here, man. I ain't playing that game with you. Let's get back to Russell. I want to talk more about him going to Pittsburgh.
Okay.
And now he's going to be paired with Arthur Smith, who was an absolute mess calling the plays in Atlanta. And yeah, now he's going to go call the plays in Pittsburgh?
Especially with
They just traded Deontay Johnson.
Yeah, especially how many dig routes they run. Like, isn't the worst? It honestly is a terrible fit. I don't understand this at all.
Mm-mm. He's just going to throw jump balls to George Pickens. He gets that DK Metcalf or no, it wasn't even DK. It was who was the other receiver that that caught all the deep pass. Lockett. He's got Tyler Lockett out there.
What's Calvin Austin? Calvin Austin's still on that team. He's still a deep threat. So he can
He's got Tyler Lockett. Yep. And then DK Metcalf is George Pickens now. So but are they gonna run they're not gonna call the right plays for him.
You have to.
But Arthur Smith, that's not Arthur Smith. He's gonna try and get who's the rookie that they picked up at tight end out of Georgia?
Washington.
Washington, yeah. He's gonna throw the ball to Washington on a tight end screen instead of actually running plays with the guys that made the offense run last year. That's what he does. He made Jonnu Smith relevant again in Atlanta as a backup tight end.
Didn't throw to Kyle Pitts.
Didn't give the ball to Bijan Robinson. You got Najee and you got Jalen. Like, he's not going to use them. Who's their third running back? That's who he's going to give the ball to.
I mean, he was good in Tennessee, okay? Let's be fair. As an OC in Tennessee, he was good, right? He was a good play caller. It was a lot because he had Tannehill, and Tannehill he doesn't care about pressure. That's why he gets hurt all the time. He doesn't care. Like, you just hit me. I don't care. It's tough. I like it. It's tough in the pocket. I like it. But you get hurt that way. And
Russ isn't tough in the pocket. Russ leaves the pocket.
Yeah, Russ is going
to
run.
And he's too old to be running.
Yeah, that's what's like watching him in the film with when he's playing the Broncos. And he tried to do some of the running thing. And he would just go nowhere and get sacked. Yeah, Russ, you got to throw the ball now, bro. You're old. You can't. And, Russ can't see the middle of the field still. So he's not going to throw intermediate. I think he's like intermediate 5%. Intermediate center, like
Freiermuth's career, poof, gone. Up in smokes. Yeah. He was the king of the middle of the field for Kenny Pickett. He was his lifeboat when he was healthy and on the field, and that offense finally started grooving. It was because they used the middle of the field with Freiermuth. And Russ can't throw the ball. Name one tight end that he made.
Jimmy Graham had 900 yards with him. Jimmy Graham did have 900 yards. He did. But the thing is, it's not – Russ, it wasn't like a dig route. It was a seam. I mean, Russ can see a seam. You didn't need to. The seam is, he can see
Graham, that. Jimmy Graham like 6'8"?
Yeah, exactly. He can see.
Well, that's why he just sees the top of the helmet running there. That's a different story.
And he's accurate as hell. Because the thing is with Russ too, which you watch him on films too. He still does. He's kind of the same guy, right? He's just a little slower. So he can't make up for it. Him not seeing things, which is making plays, right? But he still has a great deep passer. He's still – Cortland Sutton had some crazy catches, and a lot of that is because that was him. He's still really clutch. If you watch Denver, right, if they were down and Russ was fourth quarter time, he's still legit there. He's still the same guy.
50 points.
Yeah, exactly. I guess. Yeah, but if they're down like – and it was perfect for the Steelers because the way they play – if they're down 17-14, Russ has the ball.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
He can get it done. So I think that's something that is still out there. And he doesn't throw the ball over. Historically, his other career, he's like 7 picks a season.
Yeah, wasn't he the only 3-1 guy this year? Wasn't he 4-1 at one point? 4 touchdowns.
Yeah. No, he was about to lead the league in touchdowns. He might have led the league in touchdowns if he finished the year. Mm. Right? That's what I'm saying. So if you can, there's a lot of things to knock Russ on, right? But my thing is, like, and why I kind of wanted him to come to the Raiders, and I know a lot of Raiders fans didn't like that, is because he's a walking 26-8. It doesn't matter what he plays, no matter what,
how frustrating. For you guys, if he would have came to you guys, I would have given you a little bit of an applause there.
Yeah, see, because that's the thing. And you can go look at his stats. I don't think he has 1 year. He has the 1 year with Nathaniel Hackett, which we all see how accurate it looks, right? Yeah, 1 year with Nathaniel Hackett. He was under 25 touchdowns. Every other year, he's over it. So that tells you a lot about he is going to produce for you. And the Steelers, they had like 10 touchdowns, pass touchdowns like last season. So, add another 16 to it.
Yeah.
They're a totally different team. So that's the thing with Russ. I mean, no matter how frustrating he is and, he's going to take like 50 sacks. Doesn't matter how good your offensive line is. All those things can frustrate you. But if you're a defensive head coach, that's what you're thinking. Like, he doesn't turn the ball over and he produces in the red zone and we're going to score more touchdowns. I mean, that's how you look at it to me. But
all right.
You know,
yeah,
because he had 30 total touchdowns last year, and he got cut. Isn't that crazy?
I know. Well, they didn't want to pay him. They didn't.
But like, damn.
Now they're gonna pay him one more year, but.
And have Jimmy Garoppolo as quarterback.
You want to talk about a failure? Oh man, did they give up a king's ransom for him? And they just destroyed that franchise for 2-3 years minimum.
And the funny part of it is that they wanted Aaron Rodgers, so why they brought Hackett in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hackett's obviously a fraud. He's a fraud. So I don't know why Hackett is still in New Jersey.
You
right?
know exactly why. Because Rodgers is there. That's why. Because
I even think, you know, why
if Rodgers stays there, because apparently today now he's going to be a VP.
Oh, yeah.
That's out of that's it. I don't want to say anything else about it. I just that makes me.
you know, he might do
can
it too.
Can I tell you? Can I tell you? I'm so happy he's not a Packer right now.
He might do it. You know, he might.
I know.
Is this the thing? Will he miss a season if he does that? He has to, right?
He's gonna miss at least like 3 games.
Does he have to play? Can he play and run for? Can you play and run for office?
I mean, yeah. I mean, if there's an example, if there's anything that's close to an example, Travis Kelce. He was the vice president of Taylor Swift, so like, that's the first. He's on private planes during the bye week, and running around during the season. He really wasn't running around, but. You know, they got a lot of grief for not running around. Rodgers probably would. He probably would leave the team for like a week at a time if he needed to. Or he would just make sure that he could get wherever he needed to go and then back in time for practice. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. We're already spending too much time on this.
He's such a goofy guy.
I'm happy right now he's not on the Packers. I look forward to welcoming him back for when they retire his jersey and they put his name up on the Ring of Honor and he can come back and retire as a Packer. You know, I'm looking forward to when all that happens. But right now, he can stay in there. He can stay.
All right. Let's get to the draft. So the draft is upon us. It's coming up. It's a big quarterback draft. We got a lot of quarterback buzz this time, this year. It's not like last year was pretty good quarterback buzz too. But this year is a little different. I feel like because there's guys.
If we're gonna talk about quarterback buzz before we dive into this year's class.
Okay,
we got to talk about what was it, the 2021 Trevor Lawrence, Mac Jones.
Okay.
Now Mac Jones is Trevor Lawrence's backup.
Uh-huh.
Trey Lance.
Uh-huh.
And he's a backup in Dallas. And they even talked about him going to play quarterback in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't that Justin Fields?
Who nobody wants him?
They can't even get him for a second now.
we should have told you that was when Luke Getsy got like 4 offensive coordinator interviews.
Bro, I'm telling you, I love being right. About my favorite was all last offseason, Aaron Rodgers is gone. Now it's Jordan Love. And the Bears fans were so excited and so happy. And then we crushed them in week 1. And then I was in Chicago doing work for my project that I'm working on in my regular job. Mm-hmm. And I listened to the radio, sports radio in Chicago. Week 18's coming up. And they're talking about, oh, we beat the Packers. The trajectory for this team is through the – and then we took him out in week 18. And mm-hmm. You should have heard them turn on him so fast.
They turned on him quick, fast.
They turned on him so fast. The chosen one from the last offseason to the beginning of the year to even how they were finishing the season for a strong year next year, they turned on him so fast.
Quick.
And now they can't
For good reason, though.
They're going to get him for a fourth, Marcus. They're going to get him for a fourth.
I just never – it just tripped me out. Like, it's year three. You've been in the offense 2 years. Like, how are you still missing so many open guys? Like, I feel bad for Luke Getsy, man, because if Justin Fields was as good as he thought he was a top 10 quarterback, and he would have threw 4,000 yards last year, and they would be in the playoffs if he was as good as fans think he is.
Yep.
Because there's just some egregious misses in there. But I don't want to get into Justin Fields. Let's talk about this draft class here.
Oh, I had to make sure I brought it up because
I know especially with quarterbacks. Okay. This is a lotto. You get lucky. Yeah. I'm gonna keep it real. See, like CJ, because I want to talk about CJ Stroud a little bit. Because CJ Stroud, one thing we didn't know, all you have is this Ohio State film. Ohio State, they run the offense, they don't let the quarterbacks anticipate, they'll do all these things. And he used to anticipate the middle of the field. So, but I was like, okay, but that's good, but I mean, you're not anticipating everywhere. And then, you know, he comes to the league, he starts anticipating like crazy, and it was Ohio State was holding him back, right?
Absolutely.
And then you hear him like break down film, and he's like, the read's supposed to be over here, but he's like, I saw this safety creeping up down here, so I decided to go over here. Like, he's like, I didn't know those things. Like, I can't decide those type of things and try to figure that out. So I can only go by the Ohio State offense that I see. I mean, the NFL teams have to have those. I mean, that's on the Panthers. I don't know if the Panthers put him on the board and didn't see how he's a savant. I mean, that would be
easy. I gotta just say one more thing to you, Marcus.
What?
I did have CJ as the number one quarterback.
You did. That's fine. That's fair. Right. That's fair. I'll give you that.
I'm getting all my check marks in right here on this show, Marcus.
It's
I got
fair.
A lot of check marks from last season that I gotta bring up. I was a year early on Detroit. I was a year early on Lamar as the MVP. I just gotta make sure we're all on the same page.
All right. You got the CJ right. I'll give you that. It's still Ohio State offense. It scared the hell out of me. I'm not gonna lie. Honestly, I think it was Justin Fields more made me feel weird about CJ Stroud. I think that's kind of, and that's not CJ Stroud's fault, but I mean Justin Fields really just I don't know. He just was not the prospect I thought he was gonna be. So.
He was who I thought he was.
I know. Whatever.
Yeah. I did not let him off the hook.
All right, but this year we got we got Caleb Williams. We got come on, man. Drake May.
Bust. Right.
We got Jaden Daniels.
Then we got
JJ McCarthy, Bo Nix, right, and Michael Penix. Those are the first and second round guys. Okay. I don't know. Nix is kind of in the middle. I don't know how his pro day went today. The teams are going to decide whether they want to mess with him. The Raiders had a quarterback coach out there watching him. So they pick a 13. This quarterback's class.
We will dive into way more extensively than what we're just going to talk about.
Yeah, right.
We got some work that we're going to do on these quarterbacks as we get ready for draft day. Lots of content to drop for you guys when it comes to these new quarterbacks. But I think that this is a good point in time to reveal Marcus was at the combine.
Yeah, I was at the combine, and I saw those guys, a lot of them. You know, I thought, to be honest, the combine, probably the most impressive guy was JJ.
Okay.
JJ McCarthy.
All right, good. All right, I'm okay.
Just from me interviewing them, JJ, and then if Drake May, Caleb Williams just come off. He just came off as, I'm going to be drafted number one. I don't know why I'm doing this. And then because what did he say? I'm not meeting with every team.
He didn't give them all his medical information. He's only going to give specific teams his medical information.
Yeah,
very interesting.
And then Jaden Daniels didn't weigh in at all, which that terrifies the hell out of me. So,
bro, he looked like I used to look running around playing football in college. 175 pounds, getting destroyed by linebackers. That if he weighs 190 pounds by the time he does his pro,
there's no way he would. I bet he'd be 210. I bet how much
there,
money.
There is no way that he's going to put that
much
weight
on. He's going to be like 205 or something, Chris. He's doing that at LSU.
I'll give you 203 and five.
They're going to put some weights under it.
203.5. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. He'll be 203.5 for his pro day.
Because I still don't know. I don't know how JJ McCarthy was 219, and that's why he didn't run.
JJ McCarthy.
Like, Doc, you ain't no 219. Because he's lean too. Like, you're not 219, bro. I don't know why you're lying to us.
Bro,
you're not.
Jaden Daniels, look, I used to be that skinny running around 175 pounds in college. I put 10 pounds on to play college, and I'm still just this tiny little thing. That's what Jaden Daniels looks like out there. And I didn't have that rib protector like he's got. Tiny. But Marcus, he's my favorite. He is my number one prospect. Wow. He is the defending Heisman candidate, 40 touchdowns. What do you have, four interceptions? One interception? I can't remember what the number was. He was playing SEC football.
Okay.
He's played with professionals. He was thrown to Brandon Ayuk at ASU. Let's remind everybody that this kid was at Arizona State when he got brought into college in a pro-style scenario with Antonio Pierce as the linebacker coach, with Herm, with Marvin Lewis. The dude has been around NFL guys, and he was being groomed to play in the NFL. And then he went and played at the highest college level possible and won the Heisman Trophy. So, I mean, he's throwing to NFL caliber receivers out there. What, Neighbors? That was his guy, right?
See, that's where I have pause.
Oh, because you think he had too good a talent there that he was throwing to?
No, not even that. So okay. So,
because if you want to do that, you got to have that same. You got to have that same logic.
If you're throwing out rankings, I have him behind Williams. Okay. And the reason why I have him behind Williams, one, I feel like Williams is just kind of a more natural quarterback, more natural, instinctive quarterback. And I think he took a lot of steps this year from before, but there's a caveat to this. Okay. So when the year started with Caleb Williams, I think he was out to prove that he's a pocket passer, right? Because you watch up to the Notre Dame game, okay? This is my point, Chris. You watch up to the Notre Dame game, all right? He's showing all this pocket movement. He's like throwing anticipation from the pocket against Colorado. He has like these nice pocket movements. He's moving the pocket. I'm like, oh, like he's very accurate, crazy arm, right? And then he adds the element to it. But then he got to the Notre Dame game, and then he realized his team sucked. And then he just totally threw the whole pocket things and all the great stuff he was doing. And he just started running around for seven games and he started losing. So there is more to me where I could see him becoming that pocket guy. I've seen it and I could see him growing into it. And then he has all the other elements. He's a very accurate quarterback. He's great mechanics. Like he's very mechanically sound.
You and I are going to have a big argument about him.
He is. He's very mechanically sound. He's very clean from that area.
What are you talking from the hips up? I might be able to agree with you from the hips up.
Oh, feet down, Chris. He's up. I'm telling you because if you have.
I don't know how you're going to be able to convince me.
If you have 2022 stuck in your mind, because 2022 is just a reckless animal. But he won Heisman, right? This year. He was a lot more controlled. His feet were better. Maybe he had his feet set. Definitely a lot of great things you saw mechanically that kind of is why I am a little higher on him than Daniels, because also he has the bigger arm and he's just accurate as Daniels with the huge arm, right? There's a lot more things. He can stretch the field a little bit more than Daniels can. But I think with Daniels, my thing is the weight.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, absolutely. I'm agreeing with you there.
And I don't think he has great pocket presence. He takes a lot of sacks. So you add in the weight, you add in he does the slide.
Yep.
And then he takes a lot of sacks. That's my biggest fear. And that's why I would have Williams, because I think Williams won't get I think Daniels is gonna get hurt. I feel like there's something to it. And dynamic. He's like Lamar Jackson running the ball. Yes, he's like Lamar Jackson running the ball. So that is like that. It's dynamic. It's just a game changing type of thing.
Yeah, he doesn't have the field vision like Lamar does, though.
I don't know, man.
I don't know. I don't think he sees the field as well as Lamar does.
Some of the runs he had this year, Chris, on tape, like the one versus Florida, bro, where he was like, "Oh, nobody's open. Let me just score a touchdown."
Yeah, but Lamar never got his clock clean the way that the way that Daniels does.
Yeah, because like, Daniels doesn't go out of bounds. He won't go out of bounds. Well,
he's getting hit in the middle of the field. He's getting his feet over his head in the middle of the field.
Oh, Missouri, he got clocked against Missouri. Man. He got
That's
clocked.
Not just Missouri. He took some shots year long.
See, and I was trying to remember. In ASU, he missed games, right?
I think so. If I remember correctly, he missed games.
He missed games. I remember, they played UCLA, and they had that number 15. I don't even know remember that guy is now. But he had to play that game. It was either USC or UCLA. What did one? But he couldn't play that game because he was hurt. And that's my thing. So I already, maybe because I know from ASU, I know he's probably going to get hurt in the NFL. Hmm. And that's what scares me about it. Well, you know, the Raiders, especially Raiders, giving up all that capital to go get him. Yeah. And then, because that's just the most Raiders thing ever to happen, is we trade the farm for a franchise quarterback, and then he plays like six games a year.
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me because of his connection with Antonio Pierce from their time at Arizona State, that they go up and they pick him up, and then they go get a Brandon Ayuk to be the number two receiver for you guys. That wouldn't
draft capital give up, man.
I'm not saying it would be this season specifically.
Next year.
Because he'll be a free agent. I think he wants to come and play with his boys.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong. I really like Daniels' prospect. I mean, he's my number two. I don't. The thing is like I don't think the Raiders would have a chance because I think he's going to the Commanders. In my opinion, I think he's going to the Commanders. Because you know Drake May's fault. He's dropping, and I know why. But you know, a lot of people on Twitter.
Mitch Trubisky 2.0.
No, it's not even that. It's more about him handling the blitz, and handling getting hit
in the ACC.
Getting hit because. Chris, with Drake May, it's funny watching his film too. Because if you go look at his stats, if you just go pull up Drake May's stats one day, and you're going to see 70% all the way until he plays Miami, right? Mm-hmm. And then after Miami, it's under 60 the rest of the way. And you want to know why?
Shell shock.
A little bit, right? Because Miami, they threw everything out. They just blitzed him like almost like every third down. He was blitzing, and he didn't play well. He only threw like 50% of his passes. He threw four touchdowns. So somebody said like, "Oh, you threw four touchdowns again." That's fine, but like the rest of the ACC was like, "Oh, that's interesting," and they all did it after that. And then Clemson, it was bad. Clemson was just coming from everywhere. He didn't know where they're coming from. He was missing his heart. He didn't know anything. So that's why he might fall, but he has so much high upside because he's 6'3", he's 225 pounds. He has a cannon. He can move. There's a lot more things. He's not really Mitch. I'm not going to say he's Mitch Trubisky. It's more about.
You won't say it yet.
No, because he's not that. Mitch, I have no idea how Mitch Trubisky went that high. To be honest, when you go look at him, I don't know what they're looking at. Right. But like he does some crazy stuff on film. Like he has, even how bad the Clemson game is, he has this crazy throw against Clemson where he's like falling backwards. He throws like 50 yards and it's a touchdown. And he's like he's literally falling backwards. So if you can protect him, it's gonna look really good. It's just more can he handle taking a hit? Because like the Georgia Tech game, he was dropping dimes all over the place. He has almost five incredible throws. And then he gets hit really hard. And then Georgia Tech comes back and wins because then he has the worst touch of the grounding. His feet, and then when he's kind of a little shell shock, his feet go all off and he starts missing throws. So he goes from the most accurate quarterback you've ever seen to he can't hit anybody. And like Clemson, he was just completely shell shocked. He was terrified. He was in terror. So that's why I can see why the NFL sees it, but like fans won't see that. They just don't.
The highlights.
Because it's a little nuancy stuff too. That's why
Joe over there in Tennessee, he's gonna get clamoring to be picked early because that what he threw 70-yard bomb at the
combine. Oh, Joe Bilt. I like Joe Bilt's film, man. He has great pocket movement. He just has no control of his arm. Man, can he move in the pocket, Chris? I mean, he looks like a 90s pocket passer over there. Well, he's sliding, and there's this whole slide. And then,
well, Marcus and I are going to definitely have a lot more to say about this college class as we get closer to the draft. And as more comes in the NFL free agency period,
he's got some 90s pocket presses to him, man. That's the thing I like about Joe.
We got a lot to talk about, sir. Because I'm gonna keep my rankings to myself until we get closer. But
yeah, I mean, got to JJ.
I don't think we're not gonna agree at all.
We're not, probably not. I mean, maybe on Drake May.
Maybe.
But we'll disagree on Williams because I think Williams.
We're definitely going to disagree on Caleb.
He's probably the only guy I feel for sure that he's going to be a good NFL quarterback.
Okay. Like,
for sure. I think Jaden Daniels would be a good NFL quarterback if he's healthy.
Okay.
That's my biggest thing with him. Is like,
sure.
Can you stay healthy, though, at that size in the NFL? Because if you can, you're going to be a great quarterback. If you can't, you're going to – upset some football team, especially there's a couple cursed teams at one of them. I'm not gonna Commanders and the Raiders, right? And it's just the perfect thing is for them to trade up. The Raiders to trade up to two or something, give up like three first round picks, and this dude plays six games a year, right? And it's a perfect situation for the Commanders too. The Commanders, they pass up on Drake May or something like that, and then he gets hurt. And he'll play six games a year. So
listen, both your teams, you got backups ready to go. They got Sam Howell for the Commanders, and you got Minshew Mania ready to go.
The Commanders picked Marcus Mariota.
They did just get him. They have the most cap, and all they've done is sign Marcus Mariota. That's another conversation. All right, Marcus, hit him with the socials. We are back.
Let me talk about JJ, man. I gotta talk about JJ a little.
We'll save him. We'll save him.
All right, man. Because that's Alex Smith. I'll just say that.
There you go. There's a little teaser.
All right. So ALPA_QB1 at Twitter, Instagram, same thing at the Mark John NFL for me, at King Manelos for Chris. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I know it's been a while. Shout out to my dude David. My dude David Ochoa. He's probably our biggest fan. Shout out to him. Bigger supporter. Always asking questions. So I was asking. He's like, "Where the hell are you guys?" He's always DMing. So shout out to David. David's gonna join this episode. I hope you like this episode,
thank
man.
Thank you.
Right. Thank you. For real. Thank you, Doc.
I gotta shout out my brother because he was asking me questions too.
Yeah. JC, shout out to brother. You know what I'm saying? So we're back, guys. We're back. Okay. All right. We're out of here. Hope you guys enjoyed it.